creases in it. The low-pressure center of the storm had moved inland with surprising swiftness and was dumping snow in the higher elevations across the northern Rockies. A surprise autumn storm. There'll be a white Halloween, Sam thought bitterly, and that means trouble. The last satellite data he'd received had shown the storm's center still out over the Pacific. Then the weather satellites had gone dead, and Sam felt blinded, groping in the dark, reverting back to communication systems that hadn't been used really since before he'd started in college.
"How's it look, weatherman?"
Sam's boss still had his sense of humor. Sam looked up from his littered desk and gave him a sour expression. "Major storm. We've got warnings out, but a lot of the area is getting hit with blackouts. We got real troubles, Eddie." The boss shrugged.
"Do your best, weatherman."
"Sure, what else?" "The president landed at San Francisco International, okay? Got in before the rain started."
"Rain?"
"Yeah, don't you read your own forecasts? It's pouring cats and dogs outside." The boss walked off toward his office. Sam straightened up and headed for the windows, up the hall from his desk and the wall map. Sure enough, it was raining out there. Raining hard. Washington, D.C. State Department. For some reason that has delighted generations of cynics, the United States Department of State is headquartered in a part of the District of Columbia called Foggy Bottom. The Secretary of State's spacious office was on the top floor of the handsome building. The secretary had come directly to her office after her meeting in the Jefferson Hotel with her Chinese contact, Quang Chu Li, still wearing her low-key gray pantsuit and pearls. From her desk, the secretary could see across the Potomac River and its busy bridges to the glass and steel office towers of Virginia and the rows upon rows of white crosses lined up in military precision along the rolling green turf of Arlington National Cemetery. As she sat at her broad, uncluttered desk, however, the Secretary of State was not looking out her windows. She was glaring at the image on her wall-sized display screen of a young brown-skinned upstart with a trim beard tracing his stubborn jawline.
"The Sarajevo scenario," the secretary repeated in the icy, scornful tone that could send senators and White House officials scurrying for cover.
"Yes, ma'am," said Michael Jamil.
General Higgins, whom the Oval Office had put in charge of this special situation team, was sitting beside Jamil and leaning toward the civilian so he could get his face in the picture that was on her wall screen. "For what it's worth, Madam Secretary," Higgins said in a tone that was little short of pompous, "this is Mr. Jamil's personal assessment, not my team's idea."
"Thank you, General," said the Secretary of State, putting on her sincerest smile. Shifting her eyes back to Jamil, she asked, "Is your scenario approved by the National Intelligence Council, young man?"
Jamil felt uncomfortable with General Higgins sitting beside him down at the end of the conference table and the eye of the computer camera staring at him unblinkingly. The others in the Situation Room were all on their feet, standing over to one side. Zuri Coggins was standing beside General Scheib, who was in front of the satellite image of the North Korean missiles, blocking Jamil's view. But he could see the Secretary of State clearly enough, both on the computer display in front of him and on the wall screen on the other side of the room. No one stood in front of her image. He could see her brittle smile and hear the condescension in her "young man."
"We've run many different scenarios at NIC," he answered tightly. "The Sarajevo possibility is one of them."